Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey everybody, on this episode of the Timeless After Show, we're breaking down season 1, episode 12, The Murder of Jesse James. Find out which one of this panel is a real Tonto. Let's do it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh yes. A little bit of Kate Bush bringing us into the Timeless After Show. This is actually from her 1974 album, James and the Cold Gun. Look at that.
I dig it. It works. Oh,
yeah, why not? Yes.
See, we've just yes. Said
two t-shirts. Well, everybody, Timeless After Show. Carrie and I have been doing many shows. This is our third day in a row doing a show together. We are in sync. We'll be speaking as one throughout the course of this episode. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
And hey guys, my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. And okay, we were talking about this totally random, but online it was saying today's National Pi Day, so I had like a Pi t-shirt. But then we're like, isn't Pi Day like March 14th? But I don't know.
Pi is so good though that it's probably deserving of 2 days.
Yes.
I'm fine with that. I love me some pie, but I know you lamented you had no pie today, and now.
I know.
This is an excuse. I have to go get some pie.
Day's not over yet.
Nope, it's not.
So.
Yeah, there's a Republic of Pie just down the street. There you go. I feel like I know where Carrie might be going after the show. So, folks, you can like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And, of course, always feel free to hop in the chat. Carrie's got the chat up and running. So feel free to share your thoughts now during the course of the show about the series in general or this episode in particular. But even after the show's over, there's comments down below. As Carrie Lane, I'll do the Carrie Lane right here since we've been doing this 3 days. Down below. there you go.
Because it's good. That's why, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
I think I've just seen other YouTubers do it, but I love it when they're like, click here, and then there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Comment down below is always going to be the same on a YouTube video, no matter what. No, because like, you know, if you guys are watching live, I love that you guys are talking. I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys have like a whole bunch of comments. I'm like, oh, they're talking too much. I can't read all of them yet. But if you're watching this later, you can leave comments about your thoughts on the show, and we'll still see them.
And Carrie will read them as she's eating a nice slice of pie.
Yeah, I'll be like,
So this episode, The Murder of Jesse James, I really dug it. For many reasons. One, because it's a Wild West, which I love that genre.
Yes.
I am a sucker for a great Western.
What's your favorite Western?
Tombstone is just, okay. I'm just a sucker for that one. Because it's just, Kurt Russell's just the man in there. And Val Kilmer really sells it as Doc Holliday. How about you?
What about spaghetti Westerns? Going old school.
The Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Actually, out of that trilogy, which one's your favorite?
You know, I actually don't know if I've seen the Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh, okay.
So I would guess. Outlaw Josie Wales?
No. When it's Fist for Dollars, Few Dollars More, and Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
I've only seen Good, Bad, and the Ugly for that.
I took a Western and gangster film class, so I saw all three of them.
Oh.
And we did a poll in the class of which one you like better. And I like the second one better.
Okay.
Because the first one's a little too slow. And the third one, you lose the chemistry that the two characters have in the second one.
Okay.
Like, just their dynamic is like Clint Eastwood being like the cool young guy. And then I totally forget the actor's name for the older character. But like their dynamic is just funny of like the young guy, old guy, and like... It's lost in the third one. But a lot of people like Good, the Bad, the Ugly more.
I think I enjoy Unforgiven as well.
Yeah. Ivan, pie is not gross. Pie is amazing. You just haven't found the right kind of pie.
Oh, Ivan. Ivan.
You're missing out if you think pie is gross.
Oh. Do it.
I don't know. I like a lot of Westerns. I don't know if anything jumped in my head.
All right. Well, we start this episode.
I like the episode, yes.
We start with Wyatt. Oh, it was great to see him jump right into the action, because last episode he got the information from Flynn about who his wife's killer was.
Yes.
And what was he going to do about it? So Wyatt, being the smart guy, he goes and fact checks it.
I thought it was going to be a hard to get to prison or something, the way he described it. I don't know.
I mean, I guess easy to get to visit the man, but hard to kill him in there, I guess?
No, I forget where he said it was, but I didn't think it'd be so easy if, like, I'm just going to go visit.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, wow, he's there.
He did it. Yep. Look at him go.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But and there's a little bit of coyness there, but where the guy goes, I don't know who you are, and then Wyatt, you know, says, please, I need to know this. So I just say like, yeah, I do like this. He says, yeah, if I could change things, I would, but I can't. So here's where we are.
Though he didn't officially admit to killing Wyatt's wife, so I'm like,
well, because I think
I don't necessarily doubt that he did it, but it's one of those. Well, he didn't 100% be like, yeah, I did.
I don't, even though he's still in prison for two murders, one of those is not his wife. So I don't think he's going to deliberately admit, he would just come forth and purposely admit. Because even though Wyatt says, I'm not here to get you in more trouble.
Yeah.
You never know. So
it's a good question.
I think that's as good as a close to, like, I can tell you, but this is as far as I can go that I can still have deniability if somebody ever came in court.
Yeah.
So, but of course, Wyatt ends like, oh, if I had a time machine, maybe I could. I wonder where you found one of those, Wyatt. And then we have Lucy having a dream about Amy. Nice to see Amy back, if only
right,
in a dream.
Right, for like, I don't think I even remembered what she looked like.
Yeah, to be honest, neither did I. I mean, I knew when I saw a woman that she, in her
I'm
place.
I'm always going to be her sister,
yeah.
But
I would not have recognized her, though.
Was she only like the first episode and that was it?
That was it, yeah, because when she came back, her mom was healthy.
Actress is like, yes, I get to come back.
Yeah, but I'm only in for a scene.
One scene.
And I'm fake. Okay. Yeah. And she does tease Lucy, though, about saying like, you know, hey, you've forgotten all about me, because what was yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, even though she didn't say what it was, he knew it was something important.
Yeah.
And my guess is like it must be a birthday or something.
Yeah. Ariadne agrees with me a little bit of like kind of doubt the guy killed Wyatt's wife. I feel there might be more to the plot.
Yeah, there could be.
Especially if you know, I mean, Wyatt says, you know me because I was on TV pleading for my wife's life. But I almost feel there's maybe more to it of why that happened.
There's
like maybe something as big as like, Rittenhouse orchestrated it to make him end up working for them. I don't know the details of how it worked, but I feel maybe it wasn't random.
Yeah, I don't know if I want it to be, because I don't know if I want everything that Rittenhouse to have everything connected to them.
That's true.
Do I want that, or do I want to be able to have more of the drama where it's just an isolated event, but it's still the drama of like figuring out what the deal is? We see, find out that Rufus, though, getting a little loving, some little workplace smooches.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel about affection in the workplace? If you were dating somebody that you worked with, would you give them smooches right there?
Sure.
Yeah?
Well, they weren't like, you know, sucking face or like totally going at it. It was just cute.
All right.
So you're not about PDA in the workplace?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, Mason runs like a very, very loose place, I guess.
It's not like there's tons of people around, like, and most people are busy with what they're doing, so they're not like.
Oh, all
right. And they're not right next to someone's cubicle. They're like,
guys, please. All right.
Oh, and then just wanted to do a quick shout out that Marissa, one of our hosts here, she said she interviewed Daniel. I want to say it's Lissing. I'm not sure how you say the last name, but he played Jesse James last month in December about his Hallmark show, When Calls a Heart.
Oh, so yes.
You guys can go look up that interview on, that would probably be, if it's for a movie, it's probably an iTalk movie.
It's a Hallmark channel, so it's a TV show there. So it's going to be on
AfterBuzz. Yeah. Okay, so go look that up, guys. So if you like that Jesse James, go see him interviewed by the talented Marissa.
Yeah. Her and James Lott Jr. and Maria Provenzano do the One Calls the Heart after show. So the Hardys, as they like to call them, huge, big fan base. Very supportive of those people. So, yes, go check out that. Speaking of Jesse James, I did like this version of Jesse James. I thought he was kind of cool.
I thought it was very interesting. Yeah. Very talkative, very charismatic. But I believe if you're that good at what you're doing, of course your ego would get inflated that he kind of was like, well, at least they died looking at something pretty. You're just like, He goes to the stars, man.
Yeah.
But he wasn't a bad-looking guy. So
not at all. We also, just to backtrack to Rufus for a second, though, he does have another follow-up conversation with Mason, because Gia tells him, like, hey, guess what? I'm being trained to be a pilot. I'm going to probably be starting in about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And Rufus goes to Mason, like, what's the deal?
Shite. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So a shame because, I mean, he throws it back in Rufus's face and said, you told me to pick a side, and I did.
Oh, yeah. Mason went, like, immediately to the dark side. Like, before he seemed fearful of it.
Yeah.
And now he's like, well, chose the dark side. I'm like, okay. Like, he seems cool with Rittenhouse now. He's like, all right, I'm not scared of them.
I mean, I know we only have
like,
a few more episodes left
in season.
He doesn't
have the same fear anymore.
I wish we had, like, a Mason-centric episode just to find out, like, some of his backstory.
Yeah,
and then you
could have,
like, led up to why he decided to make a choice. And if he sides with Rittenhouse, but at least to see why he made that choice.
It felt a little sudden. Like, before he's just like, no, Rufus, like, and, like, all this, like, franticness. And now he's just like, yep, I am working with them. And, like, it's like, did you drink the Kool-Aid? Or, like, what happened?
Yeah.
Just like, where'd that come from?
It would have been nice to have, like, a little buffer episode between these two just to see it. But regardless, that's the deal.
Good question. Ivan was asking in the chat room, how was the real Jesse James this egotistical? I don't know. That's a good question. Well, I assume so far the show's done a really good job of doing their research on people and what documents are on history. So I'm going to go with, like, at least a little bit for sure.
Yeah. A wild ego, thinking mm-hmm. that, you know, when somebody's writing up in the papers about you that you fight with the strength of five men.
Of course, you'd be like,
look at me.
Yeah, you're just like, And
we do find out that Flynn jumps to April 13th, 1882, the day that Jesse James died. And
yes.
I do like the details that Lucy paints for that, because he's betrayed by his partners, Robert Ford and his brother, and he's shot in the back while he's dusting and painting. And I do like Lucy taking that moment, like, I always remember that little detail.
I think that's interesting that passed down through history, that they know that detail.
Yeah.
But I guess that the two ex-posse of his, like, are describing what happened, then there would maybe be a record of it and so forth.
Yeah, although, you know, if you want to tell everybody that you did take down Jesse James, wouldn't you want to really exaggerate the story? Like, he was looking right at us and we outdrew him. Instead of like, we shot him in the back because he was dusting and painting.
I don't
know.
Pretty weak. Weak sauce. Wow, you guys. I love you guys up in the chat room. It's so good. Quick thing. One person had a good point that Renji said, I guess you have to remove your spine to join Rittenhouse. How Mason is like, yeah, no, 100% agree. And then Jet was saying, I think Gia, training Gia is a smart move on Mason's part. However, I think Rufus should tell Gia what's going on. He said he trusts her, so tell her. I agree. I think Gia needs to know. I think prediction, but not prediction yet per se, but I think they might let her in on some of the stuff because how she was with Mason at the end and Rufus watching that interaction.
Yeah. And Gia seeing what she saw too.
Yeah. There's something there.
Yeah, and I think just the reason that Rufus hasn't gotten talked to Gia at the moment is just because everything that happened in the course of the episode. They're talking, then all of a sudden Flynn's on the move.
Yeah.
Then they got a good one and he comes back. So I feel like once they get a chance to be alone together, I feel like that conversation's going to happen.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Especially just as a relationship. And if he cares about her, she needs to know. This is not one where ignorance is bliss. It's like it's more dangerous for you not to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like maybe he doesn't need to tell her everything, but at least like, here's what's going down.
And, I mean, it definitely gives Rufus a lot of motivation because it's not one thing, like, certainly taking him out of the pilot seat kind of loses his chance mm-hmm. to kind of be with the team. But just seeing somebody
training
that you care about.
Training another pilot, his, like, threat now.
No, yeah, but especially if you see somebody you care about that you don't want them to be in the situation that you're mm-hmm. in right now. Oof, so. Ugh,
oh, yeah.
Yep, go yep. Rufus.
Yeah.
But they head back to 1882, but we find out that Flynn shows up because it's cool. We cut right to that moment mm-hmm. where Jesse James is going to dust that painting. And it's about to go down.
It's like, thanks for saving me?
Yes.
Thanks for saving Jesse James? What? No.
But
Flynn.
I love it. A chance to save some person from their death. It just is a fun, like, historical fiction geek. It's always curious to see, like, mm-hmm. what would happen if this person didn't die when they were supposed to.
Well, he did an excellent job. Well, the other thing, too, is how do you know what time it was? Because we already learned in the Houdini episode, like, guess it wasn't 4:00
yeah.
with that meeting.
That's
so,
true.
I mean, like, unless he was literally tracking them and knew they got back to the house at that time.
But he's sitting outside the door like, okay, when he mentions painting.
Wait for it.
Then I go in.
Look at their hands. They got the guns. He's like, I've been tracking you. It's like, good cover story, Flynn. I gave him A for effort on that one. I was like,
yeah.
That's a good way to segue in.
And plus he offers him a drink.
Yeah. So, I'm buy a drink.
Yeah.
All right.
It sounds intriguing there.
Right? Yep.
And then we see when the team gets there, of course, they're like one step, another episode where they're pretty much like one step behind Flynn throughout this episode. But I didn't mind it so much this episode because they had two separate kind of stories that they were kind of tracking. The team had their own kind of story, even though they're a little bit behind Flynn, and Flynn had his own. So it was kind of fun to see two parallel stories that were kind of, you know, influencing each other, but didn't rely on each other.
Yes, they were, independently happening, but... And interesting on their own, too.
Yes.
So you're just kind of waiting for when they merge.
Yeah, and they merge in probably the coolest way that I thought they would merge.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when they get there, they find out, oh, man, all right, that we're already late. We got to find somebody. We got to track these guys. They're already on the move. And I do like Wyatt, even though he's a leader, he gives a little moment, I don't say like a pep talk, but kind of gives a little chewing out to get everybody like on the board. Like, we got to get everybody
together.
And
why am I the only one who cares about history right now? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally love that moment.
Yeah.
Super funny. Also, quick interruption real quick. And guys, if you are a fan of Timeless, and I hope you are if you're watching this, and you should be because it's an excellent show, I was just reminded about this. Tweet about how much you like this show and this episode. Use the hashtag Timeless, also Renew Timeless, because apparently it is kind of one of those, it's unclear if it will be renewed, but you know, Twitter gets your voice out there, and like, people will see that it's, you know, being tweeted about, and then people want to watch it. So make sure hashtag Timeless and hashtag Renew Timeless, and say something about the show, about the episode. So
no, Eric Kripke was really cool about saying, like, you know, when people try to do those Save the Show campaigns, it's already after it's been the show's been announced as canceled, but now
do it ahead of time.
You've got, you know, five months before the May upfronts happen, so you got a lot of opportunity to start getting the word out.
Yes, so do that, guys,
especially since the show only has, you know, a few, like, I think four more episodes left. So it's going to be off for a few months before the May upfronts happen. So good to keep it, get a lot of buzz and traction going on now.
Because it is a really good show. It's been continually entertaining. It's gotten better and better. And so it's one of those, like, help it out before it's too late, guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it'd be easier to keep it going once the momentum's already happening instead of it stop and then pick up again.
Yeah, then everybody's got to think of, like, what item they want to send in that's going to, like, remind people of Timeless.
And we were noticing on Twitter, guys, Timeless was trending number 3 on Twitter, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, doing a great job, fans.
Keep it going,
yes.
Guys.
But Lucy kind of snaps out long enough to realize, like, hey, if we're going to find Flynn and Jesse James,
we need a guide.
Yes. And we got to get the coolest guy in town. We got to go to Bass Reeves. Bass Reeves, not just like the coolest Lone Ranger around, but he's the actual inspiration for the real Lone Ranger character that we know.
Which apparently there's been a little historical inaccuracy.
Yeah.
On that one.
Yeah. We do find out that he is a black man, which Rufus finds is awesome.
He's like, oh, Lone Ranger was black. Awesome. I like that delivery. That was very entertaining.
Bass Reeves is just an awesome character.
Good character.
And it's just, we're jumping ahead, but to Rufus's and Wyatt's discussion at the end of the episode, Wyatt grew up on cowboy movies with her, like, super, like, on a pedestal. They're just, like, better than everybody else.
Unrealistic, almost,
And when he went to war, he realized, like, man, men aren't like this. And then all of a sudden he goes back in the past and he meets Bass Reeves, who is just as awesome as everything you ever watched as a kid. It's hard to believe that people, you know, in the face of whatever you had to stand up against, could still stay.
I just wonder if Jesse James was tried and went to jail, would they have done, like, a death sentence for him? Or if he had jail for life, did they really have jail for life as much?
I don't know if they did. I'm sure it would have been hanging.
Yeah. Probably.
But, I mean, I guess...
Especially, he's obviously a murderer. Like, they have record of him doing it.
Yeah.
So
I think from Bass Reeves' point of view, it's like he's, even though he would ultimately get killed.
He trusts the system.
Yes.
But it's sweet. It's one of those, like, well, how well did it work then? And
no.
It's like, and you want to be able to.
Yeah. And even if it led in his death, it was still like the killing is not Bass Reeves. I mean, he did what he did. He brought him to justice. What the justice system decides to do. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
So.
But he trusts in that, and that's what he stands for.
Look at him go.
Mm-hmm.
We also find out that, because I do like when he says, all right, well, I'll go help you. Because you see all those little nods to the Lone Ranger legend, having that connection with the Native Americans. And nobody else would care about going deep into Native American land.
And his sidekick.
Yes. Before we even get that through, because when Wyatt says we're just going to kill Jesse James and bring it back, I do like him saying, what do you think this is, the 1820s? Which I do like just that nod back. Like,
I know. It's like,
we just like shoot people all the time. We're not animals. We're not monsters.
They go through the law.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yes, he does have what we think of as Tonto, but it's really Grant Johnson, his deputy, I guess, because he's got a star on him, so it seems like that.
Yeah.
I don't think they're not cold marshaling.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Or I guess because he's working for the marshals, so he could be another marshal. But yeah, but we find out that, you know, of course, tonto in Spanish means, was it idiot?
That was like fool.
Yeah,
idiot,
fool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I honestly did not know until
which is
that.
Funny though, because baka in Japanese is idiot, and a similar idea. And there's actually a lot of Spanish names, last names that's baka that I've seen. And so I'm like, oh, that sucks it. And like your name, but it's a language thing of, you know, if they use it one way or another. But I wonder why they would have picked that name then, unless they liked it for that character. Like, why would you pick his, like, is the character portrayed to be a fool and an idiot? Why would you pick a name that means that?
No, that's very true. I don't know. I have to look up for the origins of what Tonto means, at least.
Why'd you guys pick that name then? Right? Yes.
The other story that we also have, well, so we're talking about Gia. She, of course, fails at the simulation and just says, you know, it'd be helpful if I could watch some other video logs from other pilots.
Right, that'd be so helpful in learning and everything. No, yeah, there's no logs. They were lost in the power surge. Yes, yeah.
Ugh,
she's
yeah.
like, yeah. I like, though, that she doesn't believe that.
No, doesn't believe it for a second.
She's like, snort. Yeah, she's like, no.
But, I mean, Mason, come on, Mason. You also have to realize, and I guess that's why we find out he's put so many secret backdoor tracking things in all the systems, because he probably knows I'm not really a great liar. People aren't going to buy what I'm saying.
Yes.
But so they head off in pursuit. We find out what Flynn's plan is, that they're actually going deep into Native American territory, because it's not treasure, not a treasure map, but it's a person that they're trying to find.
And it's smart that she's essentially has her own security force.
Yeah.
But the question is, which we never got around to it, too, is she cool with the natives and then they don't mind her? But I guess she stays to her own business and doesn't bother them, so.
Yeah.
Or we learned, too, she's been there a decade, maybe it's over time she befriended those around her.
No, that's true. Somebody is sick and she's able to help them in some fashion. Yeah. Maybe that buys her some credibility.
Because you can't live in a cabin all by yourself. You have to go get food and water.
Well, she seems pretty good with a gun.
She does.
Yeah.
So she might have done hunting, but that means she has to get...
Yeah, permission. Yeah. You can't just be walking around shooting stuff and not be like, wait, what are you doing here?
Yeah. Yep.
And I do like when they're actually tracking Flynn and Jesse James, they stop in a town, the scary version of Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
As Rufus says, there's so many cold sores back in the Old West.
Oh, also, he's like, why are they looking at us? Because we're two black people and we got a Native American. And then he's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like Rufus talking to Grant Johnson saying, are we going to track and look at their trail? Or like, and it's like,
yeah, look at broken twigs and like fall. That was very funny.
Like, no,
but it's good on making assumptions and stereotypes about people.
Well, I guess when you, because I mean, honestly, I would assume that same thing too. If I'd grown up watching The Lone Ranger, seeing the movies, like, all right, that's what Tonto does. He's really in touch with the elements.
You could ask a better way. You could just say, how are we going to follow them?
Yeah.
You know, how are we going to... Because you don't offer, because that makes you look stupid. But if you just leave it out open of like, so how are we going to do this? Then at least you're not suggesting dumb ideas of like, I don't know.
That's very true. And I guess, you know, the first indication when Grant Johnson shows up dressed up pretty much, you know, just like a regular guy.
Yeah. He just has long hair. That's about the only like distinguishable non... white thing about him, maybe. And even then, some of the white guys have long hair.
Yeah, maybe. But a good indication to like maybe I shouldn't talk about like spirits and
maybe not
broken twigs.
Nope.
But they do find that somebody else, a bartender from a waitress in the bar, remembers the map that Flynn was showing James.
Could draw it.
That's a smart waitress.
She
right
has
there, man.
Photographic memory, guys. Oh, well, my God.
Look at that. Mary Lou Henner is back in the Old West.
Well, I guess then again, if you saw it and knew generally where you... if you could look at it and understand where it was, I bet in that sense you could recreate it.
I guess, but still, like, trusting somebody else's description of a map to then redraw it?
Yeah. I'd be like,
But they found it.
If you saw, like, some major landmark that they're headed towards, that would at least be more descriptive than just, they're headed south.
Yeah.
You're like, no, they're headed towards this thing.
I guess the benefit is that there's snow on the ground, so at least, you know, as the map can take
and
them so far.
And it wasn't snowing, so it's not like they were getting covered, but still.
At some point you can follow some of the trail, I guess.
Yes.
But of course, Flynn, always looking, watching his back, doing like that little like, kind of Butch Cassidy in the Sundance Kid moment where he's looking through the binoculars, seeing the, you know, the posse coming up behind him.
3 miles. I know exactly how far they are. I mean, I guess there are some scopes that have maybe markers, but still it was very specific.
Flynn's a smart guy. He knows what's up. And we just see Jesse James, you know, what an idiot, but he's just firing wildly like, into the sky.
I would just be more like, you're wasting bullets.
Yeah.
Ammo. You might need it later. Like Emerald City.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you shooting stuff?
And but we do see that James gets his first glimpse of this really cool rifle that Flynn's got with him.
That seemed kind of odd. Like, why? Was he adjusting it because it was falling out wrong?
I don't know exactly why.
It just was like, really? Did you need to, like, open it to, like, do something? Because he didn't do anything with it, really.
No.
He didn't take it out, like, oil it, clean it, nothing like that. And then just, what's that?
Yeah, I guess.
Nothing.
That was, like, the ham-handed way of the plot needing for James to see that cool gun.
I feel there could have been a different way to do that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it could have been like
Maybe when they take a break or something and, like, they're adjusting. Like, it didn't even seem like he was adjusting it. It just felt like, I'm going to open it.
Yeah.
I'm going to close it.
Okay. I'm going to let you see it accidentally.
Yep.
It could have been James just being nosy, like, while Flynn's getting water or something like that, and lifts it up and then realizes, like, well, this isn't a rifle like I thought it was. It's some weird, cool, fancy rifle that I've never seen before. But when you can definitely tell, like, when he sees it, like, you know that's going to come into play later.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, in the writer's room, they said, like, hey, what if Jesse James had a modern-day machine gun? Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, so how do we make that happen?
That's a semi-spoiler of a thing that happens in Westworld, too.
Oh. The Man in Black?
No.
Okay. Well, then I won't keep guessing. I haven't seen the show yet.
There's another bit of it. And a side note to that, if you guys do like Westworld, or if you haven't watched it yet, very, very, very last episode, watch all the way after the credits, because there is one short little scene. I was talking to someone. I'm like, yeah, you like that scene at the end? They're like, what? There's a scene? I'm like, yes. It's really short, and it's not really, like, integral to the plot, but it's really cool.
But now you have to start all the way back at the beginning and watch it.
You told them that. No, you just go to the last episode, and you just fast forward through the credits.
No, that's rude. Got to start all the way back at the beginning. You got to keep the continuity and integrity intact there. Come on.
It's a good watch-through show. I did the after show and then watched through at New Year's, so it's a completely different experience watching it back-to-back instead of waiting a week.
Oh, nice. I gotta make some time. I just love Timeless too much, guys.
Yes.
Even when I'm not watching the show, I'm thinking about the show. That's what I'm doing. I'm just staying up all night thinking about the show, guys. The trio kind of shows up, it's basically just...
Thank you, chat room. Casket said he was putting the scope back on the rifle. Thank you. Okay, that makes a little more sense. I couldn't tell what he was doing, but that makes a lot more sense of, okay, I need to put it back in there.
Yeah, you know, I would just
think,
like,
I would keep the scope with you.
Yeah. I would just think, like, if you're really worried about Jesse James having that gun, which clearly Flynn was, at least for a little bit, maybe just not be and have him be around anywhere.
In a pocket.
Yeah, just not have James, just James be around anywhere when you're going to go look at your gun.
Just
send him away for a little bit. But of course, when all the Native Americans show up, then Jesse James says, hey, now you find out why it's so good to bring me along.
And we don't get to see it.
No.
We just see the aftermath.
I wasn't quite sure how it was going to work, whether he had maybe a deal struck with them or what.
No, I just think he was that fast.
No, he was that fast. He did. So we do come back to Bass Reeves, Grant Johnson, and Wyatt kind of riding in while Rufus and Lucy are kind of trailing behind, and they come across, like, the massacre.
Which was weird. I didn't understand why the Rufus and Lucy were behind.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
Which also, can we talk about the, like, oh, the lady going along, and the guy's like, well, I'm not going to take women in danger, and she's like, oh, escort you into danger. She's like, you're not escorting me and you don't have a choice. I don't know why she didn't go in pants in the first place. But, I mean, it was more uncommon, of course. But if you know you're, like, gotta be more adventurous, come on, Lucy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're like, let's put you in some regular clothes. Ooh, pants.
That's right. Never been around a lady
in
the
pants
before.
Oh, my goodness. And her getting on a horse was a little awkward.
Yeah. I feel like realistic.
It was adorkable.
Yeah.
It's adorable and dorky. Adorkable. But she did well. She was like, all right, I got it. And then got on. Okay.
I did want the next shot after she gets on the horse and then we see it from behind them as it's pulling up and they're riding off, that I wanted the four guys and then just kind of Lucy just kind of like back in
the thing,
but she was right up with them.
She had a hard enough time getting on the horse, so we can figure she's probably never ridden a horse. And then they actually take off galloping, which I'm like, that's actually a little tricky if you've never ridden a horse to go fast.
Because
you are up much higher than you're used to, and you're just like, how do you hold on to things?
She was just going around like a pro. I was like,
yeah,
oh,
she's
all right.
I'm good. I got it. I'm on the horse. That's all I needed.
What's taking you guys so long? Hey, let's go.
Yeah.
We had a little campfire scene, though, after they bury the bodies. So we'll make camp, we'll bury the bodies.
Oh, yeah,
and
I need help with your ritual. He's like, dude, I'm mixed with a bunch of stuff. And which I like that too. That was, yeah.
I thought it was great. And he said, the only place I feel like I belong is with this, with Bass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, or no, some bitch. Some mm-hmm. bitch. But I do like that. I mean, you can just see that, mm-hmm. that strong connection. You can see where, you know, who wanted to do the Lone Ranger mythos yeah. kind of drew from that real source. I mean, that was a really strong connection.
Well, it's kind of like two outcasts bonding together.
Yeah. And that's where, Bass kind of tells Riot, Wyatt, mm-hmm. like, why are you going, why are you going to be bringing back Jesse James alive?
Yeah.
I mean, why are you following the, like, you know, some people that oppress you for so long, why are you following their laws? It's like, yep. The law's not perfect, but it's all we got.
Yep. Or also a lot of the, I mean, it was that discussion then, and I think it's later too, and it was brought up in the chat, like the morality discussion of kill someone, which, I mean, why it was hellbent on the, if you can kill someone before they do bad things, you should get rid of them. And, like, that just kept coming up, and that was that discussion, them all talking about killing someone, and even Rufus going, it's been hard to deal with killing someone yeah. for him.
That really got into this, because Wyatt finally shares that he saw Jessica's killer, because mm-hmm. we debated, like, how long is he going to wait before he yeah. brings it up to the group? And that led into
like
that conversation.
I like talked about it, yeah. and then Lucy talked about her thing, too. So it's like, thanks, good. Discussion is good, guys, because, like, nobody's going to know what's wrong unless you tell them, and so I like that they did finally go, all right, we're all chatting. Here's why I've been stupid.
Yeah. No, but I, as you were mentioning that, Rufus is, I really like that. It's like, shouldn't it be, it should be harder for us to, as the yes. good guys, to kill. That should be.
But then also Lucy was getting in that, like, gray area of, like, I don't know, Rittenhouse is turning out to be pretty bad. Maybe this is what we should be doing.
And it's tough, I feel like, with somebody like Jesse James, when Flynn saves him from the moment that he was supposed to die.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand why Wyatt's agitated. Because mm-hmm. you have somebody now that was supposed to be dead, now alive. And yeah. how many, everybody else that they kill is somebody that was not supposed to be dead.
Exactly.
So how do
so
you
like,
how do you apply yeah. the law to somebody that is already supposed mm-hmm. to be dead? I feel like that's a tough question
that's
to ask.
That's hard, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if you find yourself in that situation, would you, do you feel like you could be
if
like
he's
Bass Reeves?
To die?
Or could you be like Wyatt and just say, we got to get rid of him?
I mean, if we're like the team in preserving history, he needs to be dead.
The sooner the better, because
yeah.
every other death just has ripples.
And it's the classic thing in so many shows and movies where someone does not, and superhero stuff too, which, I mean, that falls under that category, but that happens a lot in superhero stuff where they're like, we're not going to kill the bad guy. Guess what? Bad guy kills a whole bunch of people, and you're like, so that not killing the bad guy thing.
Yeah.
yeah, maybe that was a bad idea. Very
true.
So annoying of, like, watching a movie and they're just like, I'm not going to kill the super evil bad guy who's already killed, like, I don't know, a whole bunch of people, and who knows how many, and then they, like, lock them up or they escape or something, and you're just like...
Hmm. No, I mean, I feel like that's, like, the difference between, like, making something that's okay in a comic book where you could have the Joker constantly killing people, but Batman will always put him back in Arkham Asylum, as opposed to the movies when you put it in the real, more of a real world kind of that we can relate to. Like, why is
right.
this person still alive? I mean, why isn't he
yeah.
put to death or something? Tougher to make happen, I feel like, in a TV yes. show or film to make audiences like.
Eh. I mean, maybe it's hard though for these characters of who's going to kill him. But if you already got someone in the team volunteering,
yeah,
got it covered. yes.
Then we get we find out that Flynn
yeah.
and James get to the house and what they're mm-hmm. looking for. We find out it's a woman.
Yep.
And we find out it's this woman, Emma, which is really cool. We start learning a lot of the... Because back, second or third episode, what about Anthony? We heard some, you know, Anthony's terrible first trip back in time. It was almost killed him. We found out just hints about that, but not really
mm-hmm.
a big exploration.
Mm-hmm.
But now we find Emma, who Flynn knows, somebody that was an initial pilot, along with Anthony.
I'm from when you are.
Yes.
And it was just like, what? What? Or
that
I'm
was
from...
Great.
I think you just said where you are, but still. Would have been funner if I'm from when you are, but... yeah. Oh, and a quick comment on the discussion, though. Renji points out in the chat room, even if you're bad and you cross the line... Oh, wait. Even if they're bad, you cross the line so far that you're no better than them.
Not
you
true.
Know what? But in some of these movies and shows, there's those bad characters, and it's like, no, you should have just killed them, because then they kill a whole bunch of other people, and then that's on you, because you didn't stop them.
It's always that eternal story. Like, yeah,
in
you,
the show.
Yeah.
And movies.
Yeah.
I don't know about real life, but in shows and movies, you're just like... Whew. But, yeah, no, I thought that was a wonderful turn of events with that character and really interesting of, like, there's another pilot thing? Like, what? And, like, I want details.
And I feel like what we've learned so far about their rules of time travel may not be true. They could be opening because...
Oh, that was a thing. Sorry. I just remembered. Nice. So, guys, I can't... we were discussing this, and I can't recall if they mentioned it in the show, and I missed it, or what. But have they talked about... Okay, you're not supposed to go back to your own timeline, but can you take someone out of a timeline and take them to another one where they didn't exist? Because I didn't necessarily think he was going to take Jesse James. Flynn was going to take Jesse James to, like, the present. But I'm like, could they do that? Could they take someone from the past and bring them to the present time?
I would think they could. There's nothing to stop them. I think it was just interacting with yourself.
It's one of those, but would you from the past die because it's like that time is different? Or is it being in the lifeboat changes what time you would have died?
I don't know. I mean, because I think if you're brought up to the present, then you first thing I just like in terms of getting inoculated or anything like that for just, you know, modern day. But other than that, but...
There's a fantasy, like a... fairy tale story I've read and I liked where somebody like goes to an island and time changes differently, but then when they come back home, all the time that they've been gone comes and catches up with them eventually and they die.
Oh, interesting.
So that's why I was like, so could you safely go to another time? Like, if as soon as you get out of the lifeboat, does time catch up to you and they die instantly or something?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
But
the show hasn't really addressed, can we take someone? Because they haven't had any desire to, but could you?
We don't know. But I still do feel like some of the rules or things that they kind of talked about a little bit briefly may not actually be real rules, but they're just put safeguards for the team to not do something that they really could do, but Rittenhouse doesn't want them to do. So we could find out that.
I'm not from Mason Industries, and like, don't shoot me. And him scolding Jesse James was really funny too. He's like, no, wait outside. And Jesse's like, this is all this for a woman. He's like, yeah, now shut up.
And we found out that Emma has stranded herself there. She kind of faked her own death and has hid out in the Wild West there in that Native American land for 10 years.
It's one of those, yes, we have the inherent desire to survive and live. But if she's been hiding, just that stress of hiding, I'm like, what kind of life is it, though, that you're still living?
Yeah, and it's tough because, I mean, certainly she has a lot of her modern day conveniences with her, how well they actually work, what she's able to do with them. I don't know, but... I would think that if you're going to go hide in the past from Rittenhouse, that you might want to pick a place that, especially if you have a scientific bent, that you have some sort of resources to kind of give yourself some semblance of a quality of life.
Yeah, just living in that cabin all by yourself. I'm like, yay?
Yeah, I don't know. But as Flynn says, hey, I just need everything you know.
Yeah.
Please tell me so I can stop Rittenhouse. Yep. And Emma says, you know, what you think you know?
Oh, you don't know. Yeah. I was like, oh, what do we not know? Tell us, please.
I know.
Of
and
course
I saw,
they don't.
I saw Carrie like, and just tell us right
and?
Now. Just tell us right now.
Say it. And say it. No. Okay, we'll wait.
I was worried, though, for a second, though, because when they come back out, because Emma's going to go with Flynn back into the mothership.
Come back.
That I thought Jesse James was going to kill Emma. I was like, just because of that tension.
Shoot Flynn.
I wasn't sure.
But why kill her?
Yeah, I don't know. Because there's that tension about the gun. Because they come back out, he gives him the other half of his money and says, hey, just so you know, Bass Reeves is leading that posse that's been following us, so you may want to get rid of him.
Well, it was the challenge of a worthy opponent for him, so he was excited. I want the gun. That's my bonus.
That's right. And Flynn is at least initially, but I feel like that comes up to that. Are you faster than Jesse James? Do you think you could take him out? And even before that, I do like the discussion between Jesse James and Flynn about because Flynn...
Oh, that other morality thing.
Yeah, Jesse James fought for a cause he believed in, the Confederacy, and he ended up on the wrong side of history.
Yep.
But then he said, even after that, I kept killing. And what I liked about my cause is that just gave me an excuse to be a killer because that's what it really was deep down. Do you feel... I mean, Flynn could definitely relate to that, I'm sure.
Yeah, he can too. I think Flynn, or he feels he's gone that way.
Well, because even when he talked to Lucy and said, even if I get my family back, I'm going to just say, give them a hug, and then walk away from them forever.
Yeah. Which, why bother?
I guess you want to just at least have that, you're back and you're alive, but I'm
a
monster now.
But how destructive is that to them of having you, and then you leave them?
But I guess, wouldn't you rather have them alive, even though you're not with them, than have them just be dead?
Yeah, but them knowing you've left them is destructive.
Yeah, but at least they're alive. They can have some kind of quality, I would guess. But so they take off. That is the last we see of Emma and Flynn for this episode. So next week, can't wait for that. But we know that Jesse James has got himself a almost like a Gatling gun, as Bass Reeves says. But the team gets inside the cabin and they realize, like, oh my gosh, Rufus recognizes Emma's wardrobe, her name tag on her uniform.
How convenient.
Which is great, because I'm glad they're able to realize
that.
It's
also like Emerald City. I have found an article of clothing. It has their name.
Perfect.
It must be theirs. But that's that one there, obviously, because it's a little too specific.
Yeah, and I'd be curious to see what else. I wish they had had time to go through that cabin to see what else if they would have been able to dig anything up. But not before Jesse James starts firing, which, you know, again, in the writer's room, I guess they must have been so excited. What if we have Jesse James with a sweet automatic machine gun just firing away? And again, history changes because Grant Johnson gets killed.
And now, see, that's a moment where Wyatt's kind of like, can I say I told you so? Can I say it? I told you so. Like, that's a moment that he's just like, that person wasn't supposed to die.
But, I mean, Bass Reeves steps up because Wyatt gets a drop on Jesse James, sneaks outside, shoots him. So he drops the machine gun and... he's going to kill him, but then Bass Reeves shows up and says, hey, he didn't just shoot him. Yeah, he didn't just shoot my man, he killed him. And it's still just calm, cool, collected, and says, we had to just bring him in.
Yep.
And then Lucy shoots him. I don't know.
She has crossed the line. She's joined the murder club.
But did that need to happen, though? Because he had given up his gun. He was going to surrender. He was wounded.
I think she just didn't trust him.
You just trust the legal system that he would escape and he'd just be off and running and every other death would be on their conscience.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know.
Or her, how she started off originally, the purity of history. The character's supposed to be dead.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a tough thing to tell to an upstanding lawman that, like, hey, this person's really already supposed to be dead because we have a time machine and we travel back in the past and we know
we're
that.
We're in the future, so they totally died already. Yeah.
So you shouldn't get too hung up about this.
Yeah.
But Bass Reeves, not thrilled with them for doing this.
He's more disappointed in them than angry.
Yeah. I mean, because there's no repercussions there. I mean, he does give them the reward money. And when Lucy says, please give this to Grant's family, he's like, nope, I don't need this.
Ivan, of course you'd think that. Ivan in the chat room said she did it for... Oh, no, sorry, Justin did it. Sorry. Ivan's been shipping them, so that's why. Justin said she did it for Wyatt, I think. Do you think she did it to save Wyatt?
Nah, because, I mean, he dropped the gun at that point, so...
That's true, and he had tossed the other one.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't want Wyatt
to... Or to kill him for Wyatt, because Wyatt had been pushing for that? I could go with that, maybe.
Yeah, but, I mean, Wyatt has no compunction about killing somebody. I mean, he's done it before, and he'd do it again if need be. So,
that's true.
I mean, but when you have somebody that is so morally upright and somebody that you, at least that kind of character and man that you hope to be as a kid, all of a sudden existing in front of your real life, I can see why you'd waver for a second about, like, should I just kill him? But Jesse James is dead, and Lucy gets her photo taken, captured in the photo, which...
She's like, whoop.
Always a cool thing to be looking back in like a historical text and like, oh, hey, there's a photo of me now.
I think it was photos of Nicolas Cage or somebody. Like, people found photos of somebody in the history that look kind of like him, and they're like, look, he's existed, and it's kind of funny.
And we end the episode with Wyatt. Gia getting scolded by Mason, that I've seen. I know you watch the video logs.
She's like, I'm not scared. He's like, I'm going to give you a reason to be. And you're like, oh, shite.
Yeah, and Mason sees this whole... Mason sees Rufus watching it. He knows
Rufus
that Mason...
Rufus is
he's watched this whole conversation go down.
You're messing with my girl.
And Mason doesn't care. He's just looking right at Rufus at the end like, yeah, I did it. What are you going to do about it, buddy?
What are you going to do? Exactly.
And then Rufus goes and gets a drink with Wyatt. And they have a little discussion about heroes and what a great man Bass Reeves was. And now he wants Rufus's help to go back in time, steal the time ship to help me save my wife.
Without killing somebody. And not necessarily kill him. He's like, no, I want to figure out another way to do it. So,
And I feel like Rufus, of course, has got to help him because there's no next episode then. If he just says no, then what's the episode? That's no fun. So, of course... Well, we saw from the teaser.
Yeah. Looks like the 80s.
In fact, why don't we give a little prediction about what we think is going to happen in that next episode, Carrie? One, I'm excited to see what you're going to wear next week.
I know, it's 80s, right? I should do something. These other episodes have been a little too either. I could have done Western today, but I feel like I've done Western already on this show. So.
I feel like they're a throwback. Well, no, because they're going back to the 80s to maybe stop somebody in this family, I would imagine.
Probably. Yeah, let us know your predictions, guys, too. They do help. I think Rufus will tell Gia about what's going on. I don't know the full extent to what he'll tell her. I think they're going to try to stop Wyatt's wife's killer somehow, like either his parents, the killer's parents, or something like that. But that's really specific to find that. They could probably research that and find out. But maybe something will change, and then it doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, I think I'm really
thinking something's going to put a kink in their plan. It's not going to work.
I think they're going to try to do like the Back to the Future thing, where they're going to try to split up their parents before they meet.
Oh, yeah.
And so that way the Met killer's not born at all.
They will be, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Won't be the same person, yeah. But I do think, I wonder if this is like a time machine.
Well, we don't know that he'd be born, because it could be like Amy. She's erased from existence. That's true.
But I wonder if it's like Time Machine, the original book of it is, you know, and they did it in the movie, of just saving that person or not trying to prevent their death doesn't change that they'll die another way.
True.
So maybe she gets hit by a car instead and dies anyway.
Yeah, and then what do you say no, especially if you have a time machine? Like, you know, if somebody's supposed to die, what's the acceptable way that you can say goodbye to somebody?
Yeah.
Well, we do see a little bit of Emma and Flynn with Anthony as well. So we're going to learn a little bit about more about the ship and maybe about Rittenhouse has in store.
I hope we learn more soon.
Yeah. I feel like with
you can't dangle that like, hey, you do not know what's going on. And then just be like, we're not going to tell you for a while. And be like, no, don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, with only 4 episodes left, we got to start the ball rolling if we want to build into a really fun season finale. Mm-hmm. Oh, my word.
What do you think?
You
said like one.
I think we're going to learn a lot of stuff. Hi, everybody.
Cheers. Oh, I know. Predictions, you feel like... I mean, I've had some where as I'm watching the episode, I go, wait, this is going to happen. But I don't have anything else.
I'm just going strong with the Back to the Future thing. We're going to split them up.
Split the parents up.
And they're going to bring a picture back of the killer with them and see when he disappears, they know they succeeded. All right, everybody. That's going to do it for this episode of the Timeless After Show. But as always... why don't you like us on Facebook? Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thanks so much, everybody, for hopping in the chat. It's been fun watching Carrie kind of riff along through your comments. Yes. But as always, folks, even after the show's over, if you're going back and watching the show on YouTube, Carrie, where can they comment?
You can comment down below. And you can also reach out to me on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie Dealing. That's KARIDLANE.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Happy Go Jackie. Folks, that's going to do it for us this episode of the Timeless After Show. We'll be back next Monday night with episode 13 in the 80s.
Yay!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.